in Cumberland County, 51 children died by homicide. 30 of those children from child abuse, 39 of those children under 4 years of age. Is our world a safe place for children? Is God's sanctuary among us in the midst of the people? 113,000 children are abused in Cumberland County in 1 year's time, according to 2004 figures. Our county alone spends $3 billion dealing with the effects of that. Is our world safe for our children? This is why our church has joined other United Methodist churches and churches of other denominations across the nation to embrace the safe sanctuary movement. Some of the lay people of this church have been working on a team to set this up because our children deserve a safe, secure place in the world. Ezekiel promised that it wouldn't just be a physical place, a building. His promise was that his everlasting covenant was that there would be a sanctuary in the midst of the people. Now, the idea of sanctuary is pretty common to a lot of cultures dating back for thousands of years, but it was very important for the people that God called out of Egypt. Those people who were wandering in the wilderness, and the word sanctuary is associated with the tabernacle, the place of God's presence, that tent that was placed in the midst of the people as they camped. And God made special provisions for the safety of people when he talked to Moses in Numbers 35:15, and the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select cities to be cities of refuge or sanctuary for you, that the manslayer who kills any person without intent may flee there and be safe." You see, back in those days, there was a blood oath, and if you kill someone, even by accident, then your blood was required of you or some of your kin. It was a blood feud. It was a matter of family honor to avenge someone who had been killed. But God made special provisions that there were places for people who didn't just go out and murder someone, but by accident or without intent, kill someone, that they could go to one of these cities in the new promised land, and they could stay there and they could live there forever, and as long as they stayed in the boundary of that sanctuary, of that city, they would be safe from this blood feud. For God knows we need places where we are safe and can flee for help and refuge. How many of David's Psalms are him fleeing from his enemies? But maybe he had to find a cave that was his sanctuary. But sometimes he came into the tabernacle or into the temple and there found his sanctuary for those who would kill him, because it was a holy place. It was a sacred place. It was a place where God's presence was so powerful that you felt safe even from those who would kill you. Don't we all need that kind of safe place sometimes, when life seems so threatening? And don't those among us, our children and youth, especially in a society where there's so much meanness and violence and evil in the world, know that there is a safe place for them? They need sanctuary. And that's why this movement started. Our world is so sick and so depraved that there's a story that we heard in our workshop where a young girl and her mother went to church one Sunday. And so often, as our children do here, they got up and the little girl went to the bathroom. Little did they know that a visitor, a man in the back, saw the little girl leave, and he got up and followed her to the bathroom, and she was brutally abused there. In a church, is there no place that is sacred anymore where people can feel safe? We have an opportunity to change that. And we've already made steps in that direction with this whole idea of safe sanctuaries. Because it's a part of our history as a Christian faith. By the time the church became officially recognized when Constantine was converted, the church became a place where people who were oppressed and needed a safe place could go. That was extended later on by one of the popes to 50 feet within the church. If you got that close, no one could hurt you. No one could take your life. You would be defended by the church, by the state. Because there ought to be some safe places in this world where we can run, where we can go when life is threatening. But you know, so often children don't feel that threatened. That a strange man who's told them that he's lost his little dog, they'll take his hand and they'll walk away with him because they're so trusting. Even our teenagers who've grown up in a safe community, in a safe church, and in safe schools may not have on their minds that they need to be on guard for the kind of people that live in our world. So we have to take responsibility to make the church, when children and youth are here, a safe sanctuary. They need to know it's a holy place, a special place for them. How special and safe do we make our children feel here at church? You know, I know because of my size, my height and my girth, I can be kind of threatening to children. How often do we stop and talk to our children in the hallways? How often do we bend down on their level and let them know that we love them and this is a good place and the people in this place care about them? Rather than seeing them as these little creatures that kind of get in our way when we're heading somewhere, what is it that we do to make this place feel safe for our youngest members? A safe sanctuary where they know through you and through me that God is here and there are people here who are going to protect them. That they're not so caught up in their own conversations and their own agendas that they don't even notice that they're there or running by. You know, that just takes a little extra work. We had our grandchildren for 2 days, and I know it takes extra energy. And I'm tireder today than normal just having 2 children around. But you see, they need to know that we care. Not just because they're our grandchildren, because they're God's children here at a church. And one of the ideas of opening a child care center here in this church is to reach out to the community and send a message to the community that this is a safe place for children and families. That they can come here. Not just to take care of a few hours a day when parents need to be away from their children once we get this morning program going. But a safe place where these families that aren't connected with the church know that there's a refuge there. And some of them already know that because they come to our thrift shop when they're in need and they get some of the clothes and the household items they need to get by day. They come here to the food pantry and receive the food that you bring and give that says families and children and people are important. This is a sanctuary for people in need. It is a place where people come and receive of your money gifts that we offer to them through the emergency fund when it's tough paying that light bill or getting that prescription medicine. Or something else that is needed. It's not a lot. It doesn't pay everything they need, but in some ways they see the church as a safe place where they can come. And we might have to make ourselves a little less comfortable in some ways to make this a safer place. We passed at our charge conference, our council meeting first, and then our charge conference, a commitment to this safe sanctuary idea. And in doing so, we're saying that everyone who works with children and youth beginning the first of the year is going to have a criminal background check. That we owe that to our children to show that we are a safe place with safe people. And if we take the attitude, well, why do we need to do that? We already know our children. They know us. We're okay. Because we're willing to go the extra mile to show that we care about children. Of course, it doesn't hurt to add a little leverage to that. Our insurance carrier is demanding that. Because children going even to their churches and into their Sunday school classes and getting on a church bus and going in to their priest or minister sometimes are abused and taken advantage of, and we need to say we're going to put in the safeguards that children and youth in our church who come here expecting it to be a safe place is going to find just that as far as we can possibly provide it. And I hope you as a congregation are going to join the thousands, maybe even millions of people who have been a sanctuary through the ages. The church has been the place where dissenters went when their government was against them and the church protected them. Quakers, Mennonites, and Methodists were the three key denominations that provided safe sanctuary decades before the Civil War was over and the slaves were freed. The church became a safe sanctuary for those who wanted to escape from slavery. That's a part of our tradition. Churches around the world have harbored people that their political system labels as a traitor in a safe sanctuary called the church. Because God has always been for the poor, the underdog, the abused, and the outcast, the sojourner. God calls us today to be a safe sanctuary, just like the church has been down through the ages. And you have people already working behind the scenes to set up policies and programs that are doing that for our children and for our youth, that we provide the greatest possibility of safety. And the greatest safety surrounds the name of Jesus Christ. When Ezekiel shared with us in these verses that God said, I will bless them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary among them forever, I believe it was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. Because in the Gospel of John, we're told that the Word became flesh and pitched its tent, literally, pitched the tabernacle, placed the sanctuary of God in the midst of the people in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our ultimate sanctuary. You know, when you sit across from a woman in her late 60s and she confesses to you that you're the first person she's told that she was abused as an 8-year-old by someone in her own family, you know how important it is for people to have and children to have a safe sanctuary. To deal with another woman, actually in less than 24 hours after the first one I've mentioned to you, who remembers at the age of 3 being sexually abused by her own father. Right there in her bedroom with a storybook of Jesus on the table beside her. And as bad as that is, the worst picture in this woman's mind was remembering her mother standing at the door and walking away and leaving her in that situation. And I share with you today that both of those women in their 60s met Jesus Christ in a new way. And with encouragement, was able to go back into those horrible memories, into those horrible moments when they were being abused, and call on the name of Jesus Christ, who wanted to be their sanctuary in that moment, but they just didn't know He was a sanctuary at that moment. And they called on that name, and Jesus came to them, and He met them in a new and a powerful way, and they found sanctuary and safety 50 years later. And the one Ezekiel promised would come and be in the midst of us. Sitting in that little office, those two women found sanctuary after 50 years in our Lord and in our Christ. Don't we owe it to our children and the children of this community who may come here that we have done everything in our power to make this a holy place, a sanctuary, where they meet the God of the everlasting covenant. Even if it puts us out a little bit, even if we have to go to a little trouble, even if we have to spend a little more money, don't the children and youth of our church and community need to know that St. Matthew's United Methodist Church will be a safe sanctuary for them? You know, back in the 1500s, they believed that one of the blessings of offering sanctuary to people, even some of the vilest criminals, was that if they came into the church seeking sanctuary, that somehow some of the holiness of God would touch their lives and reach into the depths of their beings. Isn't that what we want of those who come through our doors? For a little bit, at least a little bit, of the holiness of God, to send them a message that this is a safe sanctuary for them. I pray that you will call upon God to bless this ministry that we're expanding, to protect our children and youth. And if we're doing that, then our adults are going to have a safe, holy place to come as well. For God made His Son to be a sanctuary among us in all of our times of need. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we don't particularly like coming to church and being reminded of the ugliness of the world. We see it in the papers every day. We hear it on the news. And yet we of all people need to stand up for what is right and good and holy. We of all people need to make this a sacred place where people can experience Your holy and loving presence. We thank You for all of those who've been working on this project. We thank You for our council and charge conference who is committed to making our church a safe sanctuary for all who would enter here. And help us always to remember that You in Christ Jesus, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, are always our safe sanctuary in time of need. And we can always turn to You, for You're right here in the midst of us. Be a sanctuary always in our times of need. For we ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.